He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the Thursday, October 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, you've got the indexes up a little bit, but underneath the surface, it's pretty soggy down there. We'll get to that in a bit. Right now, you've got the Dow up 41 points, 28,252. Not straying too far from 28,000 here for quite some time. And that's been all around the stimulus talks, which seem to be going nowhere. The S&P 500 is up 7. It's at 3,442. The NASDAQ is up 17, 11,501. Russell 2000, doing best of all, it's up 0.9%. Nice day for the small cap so far. Russell 2000 at 1617. There's your lottery numbers for the day. Crude oil up 60 cents, $40.63. At least it's hanging out above 40. Gold, not having a good day. Gold is down $23.07. You know, gold just can't get out of its own way. It's at $19.05, down $23.70 per ounce. Silver's down 40 cents, $24.84. And you've got the bond yield this morning, pretty steady as she goes there in the bond market. But we have seen a little bump up in interest rates here, not much. But it is of note that we're back above 0.80. We're at 0.83% today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We've got a lot to talk about today. There's always something going on. We're in the midst of earnings season. We're in the midst of election season. There's news coming in from all over the world. There's companies being upgraded. There's companies being downgraded. There's vaccine trials racing to the finish line if they ever get there. Plenty to talk about again today. Well, yesterday was a so-so day in the market. No news, no agreement on stimulus. I still would say, and I've been saying all along, I don't expect anything until after the election. And yet the market continues to hope, you know, that something happens. And it gets a big jolt of $2 trillion in the arm. But so far that hasn't happened. And the market's been pretty squishy, I think is the best word for it. And I would say, and I've been saying this, as we get closer and closer to a very contentious election, I don't think there's a lot of people that are going to put new money to work in the market here over the next week and a half. I think they want a little more uncertainty before they go doing that. So we're also in that conundrum right now, kind of in a quiet period on Wall Street, with people just kind of sitting and waiting and watching. Meanwhile, the stimulus negotiations between House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin continue today. You've got the vote on SCOTUS, Amy Coney Barrett today. You've got global markets pretty much down around the world about 0.5%. Nothing really up other than Hong Kong. That's up 0.2%. German consumer index weakens. Well, and we also know that coronavirus strengthens over there in Europe. And, of course, the U.S. stimulus talks, that's not helping the foreign markets. We did get a pretty good print This is Thursday. Every Thursday we get the initial jobless claims. Well, I'm glad I didn't get my pink slip here since last Thursday. I'm still employed by Gunderson Capital Management. Initial jobless claims down 55,000, 787,000. Okay, well, at least we've broken the psychological barrier of 800,000. The consensus was for 865,000. Instead, we had 787,000. Who knows? Maybe a little bit of massaging the numbers here so close to the election, but suffice it to say, they came in better than expected. I think the big news today, the number one story, even though they're in the news every day, they did have another big event yesterday. That would be our friend Elon Musk. Company reported earnings after the close last night. I would say it's one of the top five most anticipated earnings reports. Not only do the folks watch for their earnings, but also their car deliveries and their revenues. Well, Tesla beat by 16 cents on the bottom line. I think that's their fifth straight profitable quarter. So my hat is off to Elon Musk. A lot of people question whether that would ever be a profitable company or not. Well, it has become a profitable company. Looking to maybe make $1.85 in earnings this year and maybe $3.15 in earnings next year. Never mind it's trading at $428. So on next year's earnings, you got it trading at about 160 times next year's earnings. That's the forward P.E. If you look at over the next 12 months, the backwards P.E., looking back over the last 12 months, the price-to-earnings ratio is 230. So it's not a cheap stock. It's not a cheap car. But it's a sexy stock. I mean, people love to talk it up. The car's got a sexy styling to it. And it's a favorite stock to own amongst those Tesla followers. Tesla stock is right now up barely $6.76. It's up 1.6%. You've also had a little bit of guidance. The 500,000 deliveries by the end of the year is still in play. I heard that the Tesla conference call was one of the calmer conference calls after knocking out five straight quarters of profit. And, of course, Elon gave out more details on the full self-driving beta. Self-driving. Just tell it where you want to go. Sit in the back. Kick back. Get yourself a nice soda. Kick your shoes up and watch some TV, and the car will take you there someday. He noted that the system will be trained as edge cases are worked out with the beta drivers. It's noted that the car will drive in full self-driving mode, even without connectivity. Musk also said that the Shanghai factory expansion is going well. And construction is progressing in both Austin, Texas, and Berlin, Germany. So anyways, that's pretty much the main takeaways from the Tesla call yesterday. The other big story here to me, the second biggest story of the day, and this comes as no surprise. We've heard this a lot recently. RE/MAX is saying that housing demand is off the charts right now. I'm watching closely. A few homes in our neighborhood recently went up for sale, one right across the street from us. I'm going to watch and see how long they're on the market. But RE/MAX is saying that September home sales rose 22%. Year after year. Well, I mean, that's a result of very low interest rates, and it's also a result of people leaving the cities for the suburbs. Well, I've heard in some suburbs near major cities, all the homes are gone. there's nothing for sale in those neighborhoods, in those suburbs. So it's not, it doesn't come as any surprise, but once again, we hear that housing demand, if you're looking to sell your home, if you live in a suburb near a major city, now's a good time. There's a lot of demand for that thing. REMAX says it's off the charts right now. Okay, a major, when we come back, a major hedge fund manager weighs in on the scenario that he sees on November the 2nd and the following days and weeks after. As I sit here today, I kind of lean in his direction, thinking that this is the most likely outcome right now. What is that that he's predicting? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, who is Paul Tudor Jones? Well, he's 66 years old, American billionaire, hedge fund manager. His current net worth about $5.3 billion. He's number 343 on the list of richest people in the world. And he's weighing in today on Squawk Box. I didn't see it, but I saw the report on what he thinks is going to happen on November the 2nd. Paul Tudor Jones appearing on Squawk Box. Now, he's on the CNBC especially quite often. Hedge fund manager Paul Tudor Jones says he and the markets are assuming Joe Biden wins the presidency with a blue wave, also giving the Democrats control of Congress. Okay, so notice he said he believes that's going to happen, and he also says that the markets are assuming. Well, as a guy who watches the markets pretty darn closely every single day, I would agree with the fact that it would appear that the markets are assuming a Joe Biden win. I say that from the terrible action that I've seen in the fossil fuel stocks. I say that by the extremely good action that I've seen in the alternative energy stocks. I see that in the real good action in the infrastructure and building material stocks, etc., and also in the very poor action in the defense stocks, okay? And, of course, if you believe the polls, you know, on the one hand, you've got the polls, which say Biden is ahead by 8.5% nationally. Of course, you can go state by state and all the swing states, and those kind of swing back and forth. But obviously the polls do favor Biden at the current time. Now, they favored Biden Hillary Clinton 4 years ago, and they were wrong. On the other hand, you've got very few people showing up to, you know, appearances by Kamala Harris or Joe Biden, and you've got throngs showing up. So who's right? The polls, the people? I don't know. I'm looking at the market like he is. And to me, the market is saying, and the market could be wrong, the market is saying that there will be a Biden win and the Democrats will take control of the Senate and the House of Representatives. Now, he goes beyond that. He says further, rallying markets are probably correctly pricing in a big fiscal package early next year. And I think that's probably the reason that there's not going to be a package before Election Day. I mean, the Democrats and Joe Biden would rather float their own package and take credit for it. I remember when Barack Obama first came in He passed a huge package, stimulus package. So he thinks, number one, that the market is pricing in a Biden victory and a blue wave. Number two, he believes that the markets are in they're not really in rally mode. They were, but they're not. I think they've gone on hold, and they're expecting a big fiscal package early next year. Past that, however, and I agree with Paul Tudor Jones on this, Paul Tudor Jones isn't so sure, however, beyond that, believing that the Biden tax plan might cause suffering for stocks. Well, look, that's not a political equation. That's a mathematical, logical equation. Markets don't do well when taxes are going up, especially capital gains taxes and corporate taxes, and markets do well when corporate taxes and capital gains taxes are going down. There's a very tight relationship. He takes note of the historic inverse relationship between capital gains tax rate and the S&P 500 price to earnings multiple. Okay, now you're talking my, that's right up my alley, because I watched those earnings estimates and that multiple. And in my projections for the market going forward, I have one projection for a Trump victory and keeping the taxation where it's at today, both the capital gains tax and the corporate tax. And I have another scenario, which is almost certain that Biden will raise the capital gains tax and raise the corporate tax back to where it is. Well, you know what? If the market's expected to make $163 in earnings next year and you raise the corporate tax, that has a major impact on that $160 per share. I'm the guy who said when we got the corporate tax rate, that's going to have a 20% impact on earnings to the upside. I was almost right on with that prediction. And it's just logic that you take away that tax cut, the corporate tax cut, and you take the corporate tax from 21 back to 28, it's going to have an impact on earnings. Markets follow earnings. When you lower earnings expectations, you're going to see the market follow. And furthermore, he's right that you'll also see a shrinkage in the multiple. Right now, the multiple of the S&P 500 is 21 to 22, which is very high historically. But a capital gains tax hike would bring that multiple down probably more into the 16 or 17 range. So when you lower the estimates for next year under a Biden scenario, you also have to lower the multiple. And I give those two scenarios in my newsletter. And of course, that will be a big driving factor in my macro outlook going forward. That's why I've been saying now for several weeks, months, that the outcome of the election will have a big impact on the market. I have to be prepared as a money manager to react to either scenario. He also weighed in on Bitcoin. He's a big fan of Bitcoin. Bitcoin earlier today shot through 13,000 for the first time in a long time. And he is bullish. He's even a bigger fan of the crypto than when he first famously invested a few months ago. He says, I think we're still in the first inning. It's got a long way to go. Well, that's Paul Tudor Jones weighing in. I haven't heard, you know, the only real Trump call for a victory was several weeks ago. A lot has happened since then, and that was by J.P. Morgan. I don't know that I've heard another big money manager, another big bank, another hedge fund manager weighing in lately on a Trump victory. So there you go. For what it's worth, as Stephen Still said, Paul Tudor Jones weighing in on the election. Okay, some other big stories when we come back. One company knocked the ball out of the park. Another company did well, but gave no guidance going forward. What's up with that? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, there's other scenarios that you have to weigh out as the second Tuesday of November approaches. There's the scenario of a hung jury, right? And no decision. A lot of wrangling and fighting back and forth for weeks or months. I was managing money during Bush v. Gore, and you in Florida certainly remember that whole thing with the hanging chads. Markets don't like that. Markets don't like that at all. I can also see this scenario. I mean, I got to weigh this out in my mind. I'm a probabilities, odds kind of a person, numbers. And I can also see the possibility of, some disruptive type stuff here in our country. So we also have to weigh that out also. That would be more like a 9/11, I suppose, scenario. So we'll see. We take it a day at a time. I don't think it's a time to have pedal on the metal and a lot of risk out there. I have all of our holdings, under a very close watch right now. And, we've raised some cash. You can see our cash position right now, which is maybe 20%, something like that. And, of course, I have a few hedges in place. I use big inverse funds on the S&P 500 and on the NASDAQ as a hedge, because there are some possibilities out there that could be quite disruptive to the markets. Okay, we had a few other companies report earnings here. Obviously, a lot of them have. The one that surprised me the most was Align Technology. I used to own Align Technology. Align was one of the biggest disruptors of all time. It disrupted the dental industry. It, more specifically than that, it disrupted the orthodontics industry. It's now a $35 billion company. Man, they knocked it out of the park, Align Technology. Now, I finally pulled the plug on Align about a year ago or so when competition started coming into the game. Mailing out the braces to you. You have Smile Direct Club, etc. But you know what? Align Technology has Clear. What is that called? Clear. I can't think of the word right now of their product. But you ask any orthodontist how Align Technology disrupted the entire orthodontics industry. It was a guy out of Stanford, actually, who Invisalign, that's the word I was trying to think of. A guy out of Stanford who wasn't even a dentist, but he came in and he disrupted an industry and created what is now a $35 billion company. Align is up 33% today. I bring that to your attention. I am not an owner anymore of Align Technology. I started getting a little worried about competition. It's hard to sit on top with new technology, disruptive technology, for very long. Eventually you start getting the knockoffs and the competitors and cheaper prices and price competition and all kinds of things, new technologies. I made one of the greatest stocks I ever found, definitely on my wall of fame here at Gunderson Capital Management. Huge, huge mover in the market today. On the other hand, I do own Chipotle, which I think has been very much of a transformative kind of stock. It's down 5.7%, so I'm not sweating it too much. The growth story is still intact. I think the biggest reason why it's down is they didn't give forward guidance. Well, I think 25% of the companies in the S&P 500 are not giving forward guidance. Chipotle was another major disruptor along the lines of Align Technology. Believe it or not, Chipotle is currently a $35 billion market cap company. Not a bad idea. You take a tortilla, you take a little stewed meat or stewed pork or tofu, whatever, and some lettuce and some beans and little spices, and you've got a $36 billion market cap company, which has pretty much a cult-like following, much like Apple, much like Tesla. I'm not a big fan of the food. I grew up in San Diego with taco shops on every corner where you can get a nice greasy burrito, breakfast burrito, you know, 24 hours a day, 24/7, with some of the greatest hot sauce you'll ever have, man. Chipotle, okay, but it's been a great growth story. I'm all about earnings growth. Okay, you take a look at other chains out there, such as McDonald's. They're growing by 3 or 4% per year. They're not growing like they used to. But Chipotle is still in a very good growth phase. And it's been a great turnaround play after their big E. coli. I mean, the stock got cut from $7.50 down to $2.50. It lost two-thirds of its value. I didn't own it during that period of time. But when they came in with new management, started to turn it around, I saw the earnings estimates starting to go higher and higher and higher and higher. And I still consider it to be one of the great growth stocks stories. One of the very few in the consumer sector these days. So I still like Chipotle. They posted double-digit comparable sales growth. And they're expected to add about 250 new locations. And I know they're going in a big direction of drive-thrus. I can just tell you, looking at the restaurants that have really flourished during COVID around us here in this neck of the woods, it's a big advantage to have a drive-thru. We've got a barbecue chain out here, a small chain, but they have a drive-thru. And while you're sitting in that drive-thru, the smoke from the wood is wafting through your car, you know. Pretty soon you're ordering a little of this, a little bit of that, throw some of this in, throw some of that in. I think drive-thrus are a going to be a big plus for Chipotle. Okay, then we go to the COVID virus and the COVID vaccine. There's been a death now reported in Brazil from the study of the AstraZeneca, which is starting back up again. But the good news is it doesn't appear that the death was related to the vaccine. So that's another story we continue to watch very, very closely because it has so much implication for the airline industry, the restaurant industry, the hotel industry, the casino industry. It goes on and on and on. Well, here's some good news. Boeing might get some orders from Southwest Airlines. Now, we know that the 737 is returning to the airs, finally, 737 MAX. Boeing has been a flat stock. It reached a peak of 446 last year. And, of course, they've been going through their own crisis. The stock is one-third of what it was last year. It's lost two-thirds of its value. It's now a $93 billion company. Not only did they get hit with the 737 MAX, they got hit with coronavirus. But there is at least a little green shoot out there, Southwest, in talks with Boeing on orders as results improve. Now, the next little story, I think, is a warning. Goldman rings the register on Peloton after a massive run higher. I think going into the next few weeks, these are the kind of stocks that are extremely vulnerable. The ones that have been six baggers, the ones that have been seven baggers, the ones that have very little in earnings, but everything in momentum, I think these stocks have to have a very tight leash on them. Now, I don't own a lot up there in the Peloton stratosphere and the Zoom Video stratosphere and the Ring Central and on and on and on. But I'm just warning those of you who do still own stocks like that. Let's not forget Peloton is up 460% this year, okay? These are the kind of stocks that I think are particularly vulnerable right now. Bonds, I think, are fine. Cash is fine. A few inverse funds are fine, and most stocks are fine, at least right now. but I would be step a little carefully right now with some of the high flyers. Okay, when we come back, you got a new player in the electric vehicle market that's becoming more and more mainline every day. And then I'm going to pick a stock here to be my featured stock of the day during the break. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, let me just plow through the remaining news here, then we'll get to our featured stock of the day. It's one I've never featured before here on the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. AT&T reports earnings. Anybody care? I know they have a big fat dividend, but they've got big fat no growth. Hey, it's up 6.4%. How about that? That stock has been getting hammered. Just crushed this year. AT&T reports earnings that were in line. They beat on revenues. I'm surprised that the Dow isn't doing better. The market has taken a decided turn southward here during the show. NASDAQ's down about 100 right now. I guess AT&T helping the Dow a little bit. It's only down 135. The Exxon, a lot of layoffs coming there. Exxon is on the wrong side of the street in this current market. Kandi, that's a player out of China, KNDI, in the EV space. They are becoming more and more of a legitimate player as they make some pretty good partnerships here. Our stock that we wrote up a few weeks ago and own in our emerging growth portfolio, Boyd, BYDDF, is having a very good day. One of the biggest players in the EV space. And our featured stock of the day is going to be a $13 billion market cap company that started showing up in my Best Stocks Now app. And it's been in there for a long time, but it's been very quiet for a long time, and now it's starting to make some noise. I like the valuation on it. The symbol is UMC. Okay, UMC. The name of the company is United Microelectronics. Now, the semiconductor sector has been a very good, solid play here in 2020. I continue to own Taiwan Semiconductor in my one of the biggest semiconductor companies in the world. They also pay a fat dividend, and I've owned that in my dividend and growth portfolio. And it's been a fine fine member of that portfolio, doing very, very well since I purchased it. I require value, and I require a little bit of momentum. Well, if I do a valuation on United Microelectronics, which is out of Taiwan, $13 billion in market capitalization, I want to say they pay a dividend too. Okay, let me just check on that. UMC pays currently a dividend yield, well, 1.7%. 1.7%. So that we'll call that icing on the cake. But from a valuation point of view, you've got a stock that yesterday was trading at 16 times forward earnings, 16. The S&P is trading at 22 times, 21 to 22 times forward earnings. I mentioned Tesla, which is trading at 160 times forward earnings. Okay, we're down to 16 here with United Microelectronics, a sizable semiconductor company out of Taiwan. In addition to that, UMC, according to the analysts that follow the company, it's expected to grow by 20% per year. That's the consensus out there. So now you've got a stock that's trading at a discount to its growth rate. It's trading at 16 times forward earnings, 20% growth rate. That creates a PEG ratio of 0.81, a forward PEG ratio of 0.81. Now, when I extrapolate the earnings, projected earnings at the growth rate that is the consensus right now at over the next 5 years, and apply what I think is a reasonable multiple for a stock like this, I get a stock that's worth almost $11, which is about twice as high as where it is right now. Now, that's a five-year projection. A lot can happen between now and then. That's why I monitor it on a regular basis. As far as the momentum goes, well, it's up 140% over the last 12 months. The market's up 14%. Over the last 3 months, the stock's up 86%. The market's up 6%. There's obviously something going on here. It has a momentum grade of A+. And if I look out over the longer haul, over the last 5 years, it's delivered an average of 31% per year returns to investors. The market is 10%. So it's tripled the returns of the market over the last 5 years. On a graded scale, grading on the scale, I get a A- performance grade, A+ momentum grade, A+ value grade. It's hard to get all of those in one stock, but UMC has it, and it's ranked number 20 right now, number 20 out of 5,442. I also disclose that I own this stock in my ultra growth portfolio. This portfolio has done extremely well. Publish it every week in my newsletter. This is a recent addition to that portfolio. This is not a recommendation. I try to teach the concepts that I've learned over the years that I like to see. I like a combination of value. I like a combination of momentum. And I like quality. I mean, that's pretty good quality $13 billion company in one of the leading industries in the world, the semiconductor industry. So we'll make UMC, it's ranked number 20, our featured stock of the day. All right, well, if you'd like to get positioned with us, there's going to be a lot of opportunity here going forward. There's always something that's going to be on the right side of the street, and there's going to be those stocks that are not in good positions right now, given coronavirus, given the economy, given politics, whatever. And it's my job to ferret out those best asset classes now, those best sectors of the market now, and those best companies now, and put together and keep and maintain five portfolios of the very best that I can find at any given time. If you'd like to reach us and talk to one of my advisors, they pretty much leave me alone to do my thing during the day. We're in constant communication with one another. You can talk to them, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. You can get our newsletter. Check out our results. Check out our prognosis for the market going forward. Two different scenarios, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.